Welcome today to Interview Series with Outstanding Professionals. I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and I'm conducting an exclusive interview with Richard LaBerge, Executive Vice President and Chief Commercial Officer at Sensio. Richard, thank you for sharing your deep experiences and insights on 3D technologies with our audience.
It's a pleasure, Steve.
You know, Richard, 3D has especially come to the forefront since the release of the movie Avatar and then at Spotlight CES conference in the U.S. What do you make of James Cameron's movie phenomenon, the technology, and what this means to the way we do business in the future?
Well, just to say James Cameron is a phenomenon is on, and making the movies he has, he's kind of triggered the, I've shown to the world that 3D can be, it's the next thing into the entertainment, and he succeeded into showing what is the future, what is 3D. They are like people have had the experience of 3D in theme parks where you get the object poking in your eyes and or with the seat that's moving, where Cameron brought 3D as an immersive experience, something that you get into it, you dive into the, what you're seeing, and it's like a window into a new world. And the movie, the story of the movie, and the way it was treated, really, that's why it was successful. That's why Cameron was, that's what he brought into. So 3D, it's not something that hits your eyes. It's something that gets you into something. And this is why it has triggered a lot of popularity into the worldwide at this moment.
So what is the current state of live 3D broadcasts, and then your take on future trends, and how would this move into organizations?
Well, the 3D live broadcast, it's the you have to see 3D live broadcast as another source of 3D content. Of course, if you rely on Hollywood movie, that wouldn't be enough of a basis to justify the whole change into for the consumer to change from normal HDT to, well, I should say flat 2D HDTV to a 3D HDT. So 3D live comes in as a great add-on, and if you look at what triggered HD to become popular was sports, live sports, and what we're seeing right now, it's exactly the same trend where the sports we have done last year, Sensio, 15 live events, mostly were sports. We had a few concerts that were done live, and that was done into cinemas to showcase the popularity, and then the reaction of the consumer were very positive about the being immersed into the action of sports. So it is a new source of content, and there will be other source of content, like gaming will be another one that will become very popular for 3D.
Well, what impact will 3D have on the consumer, such as with TVs, PCs, and game consoles?
You mean by impact, like how they're going to deal with it? And if this is the case, the impact will be people will change as soon as they change their either their TV or their PC, they will buy the new PC, the new TV that have the, let's put it this way, the 3D enabled. So this way, more and more people would experience more immersive experience, and that will come from multiple platforms. So you're talking the PC game console. These are all different ways to bring 3D. So from TVs, you have broadcast, video on demand, pay-per-view. For PC, you have IP streaming, you have download, and same thing for console game. Well, you have gaming that you can play, like at CES we were showing, and we're one of the besides Panasonic, we're the only company that was showing the Avatar game in 3D on the floor, on a, playing from a normal Xbox 360. It was not a modified one; it was a standard one. And this is where our technology becomes interesting.
You know, you talked about CES just now. Can you talk more about that conference?
Yeah, the CES is the largest consumer electronic. It's called Consumer Electronics Show. It's the largest consumer electronic exhibition or conference. And it's held every year in January in Las Vegas. And this year, there's about 200,000 people attending, and it's mostly an industry show, but you get a lot of people coming from everywhere. What is the new thing in technology? Well, the new thing was is 3D is a big part of it. You have IP. You had also the Google Nexus phone, but 3D was one of the major attraction this year, which has actually 2010 is called the year of 3D, same as when HD came in many years ago.
So I guess Avatar, the snippets of that were everywhere.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you had yes and no, it's a question of rights, but you had like a lot of little clips, and we had the game, we had the rights to show the game, other C manufacturer had the rights to show part of the movie like Panasonic, but it was shown a lot of 3D content, but beside Avatar, there were some live sporting events, like you had like football, you had basketball, which we had also, and other manufacturers. So people were showing not only movies, but other sorts of TV content, like live content that were shown on the floor, saying, hey, I've got this TV now, and what I'm looking at is the future. And the future, it's not that far. We are talking about tea coming out in the market this year, starting this June, July timeframe.
So can you provide your overview of 3D technology?
Fairly, yeah, absolutely. And that's probably what Sensu is all about. It's how can we carry 3D content over the normal 2D infrastructure. What do we mean by that? Well, when you have a 3D movie, you have the left and right eye. And if you want to carry that, normally you would need you need to double the bandwidth to be able to carry that information. In order to do that, what Sensu has developed is a technology that allows you to take the left and right eye and combine them into one single video stream, same size as a 2D bandwidth, so we're not adding into the bandwidth. That's the first part of the technology, which we call the encoding. The second part is called the decoding, which is at the receiving end, at the home or into the cinema, where it receives the the encoded signal, and then gives you back a left and right eye in full resolution, what we call visually lossless. So they are a little bit of loss, but this is where Sensu becomes interesting, is we're the only technology that gets very close to the original image, and which is very critical for 3D. The clearer the image, the better quality of the image, the more 3D is enjoyable. So this is why we were able to do this. That's why it's unique to our technology. And the last part of our technology is called formatting. We're capable from the same source to be able to output the content in any type of 3D, because there's not only one type of 3D display that was shown at CES, for example. There were some with active glasses, some with passive glasses, and there will be other ways to show 3D. Sensu is compatible with all these types of displays, and also we can output in 2D from the same source. So if one night you got this 3D movie and you don't want to watch it in 3D because for some reason, maybe you got like 20 people in your house, you don't have all the glasses and everything like this, well, you put it in 3D mode and that's still capable to do. So this is what Sensu technology, we're into the transport of 3D signal using the existing 2D infrastructure. So no change like everyone has experience for HD, for example, which was a very costly and expensive way to bring more bandwidth because of the higher risk. With 3D, with Sensu, we don't need to.
So can you profile the state of 3D TVs and monitors?
In a sense where right now, I would say all the major manufacturers, the TV manufacturer and monitors have clearly said they will be coming out with 3D capable monitor TVs. The time frame that's been looked at right now for the top five is starting in July this year. You'll start seeing some TV coming available at Best Buy. Here in Canada will be Bishop, Costco, Walmart. But this, I would say in Canada, probably will take on maybe a little bit later this year, maybe at the end or maybe 2011, but in the U.S. it will start in the July time frame.
So what would be the price points?
That's interesting because the approach that we've seen at CES is the cost of the TV from the way the technology has been, the technology that has been chosen by most of the manufacturers to display 3D, it looks like it will be the same price as a normal 2D HD TV, of course. The cost of the 3D per se will be on the glasses, so you'll have to buy these glasses, the electronic glasses, the shutter glass, which will have some cost. So as a consumer, your TV will be the same price, but if you want to watch 3D, then you'll pay like X amount of dollars for the glasses, which gives you access to.
So what happens with people with all of their current investment in existing kind of monitor television technology?
Well, for 3D, they will have to change. They will have to change their TVs. That's the only piece of equipment to change. You don't need to change your receiver. You don't need to change your player. You don't need to change your set-top box, for example, the Bell Express, the Helico, whatever it is. So what you need to do is you will need to change your TV monitor. So like I've done in my home is I got a 40-inch Sony TV, which will go downstairs with the kids, and then I'll have my 3 in my So that's where we're at this moment, but we'll have to change that.
What can you say about the overall 3D industry and where it's heading? And what will 3D look like in 2012?
What's going on is for many years, 3D has been, if we look at the consumer market and where it's heading on the 3D, it has been being trying to create and make the whole chain work. In last year, and one thing that you want to have a technology be working, you have to ensure that the chain from, in the case of 3D, from production down to consumer, the whole chain work. And for a while, there were pieces of that chain that were missing. For example, how distribution was one of them. Another point earlier was content creation. Before 2004, creating 3D content was something that not very popular. And why I'm saying 2004 with the actual event of the movie called Polar Express that has encountered great success into the theater had triggered the Hollywood producer, hey, and also the studio say, there's money to be there, and this is an interesting way to tell a story, so let's start doing this. So the production side were 2004, people were not very familiar. Now it is getting more familiar, you got companies. So there were different pieces of the chain that needed to be working before you get the whole chain. I could tell you that now, this year, the whole chain, all the technology, the knowledge is there to make it happen. The next step will be deployment. And this is where you will see 2010, 2011 will be the mass, I would say, the mass deployment. And 12, you'll see 3D starting to become a commodity in the market.
So please share your details of your background and career lessons for success.
In the sense of personally or as a company?
So personally.
Personally, well, just to let you know, my partner, Nicholas, and I, founded the company 10 years ago. And this is how old the Sensu is. We're not a new company. We've been developing technology. And both of us, we were coming from the financial world. But we had a passion for electronics and 3D. So we just started to, we said, let's go and bring 3D into the market and the consumer market. And we worked from there. And I can tell you that starting a business as we did and what point we are now and where we're heading, there are many challenges. You have to be perseverant, and it's very rewarding at the end. Very interesting and very stimulating to feel like we have been probably one of the enablers to create this 3D industry as being working for 10 years.
So did you have to go through multiple rounds of financing and that kind of thing? Or?
Yes, absolutely. We had we started with... here in Quebec, we got different programs for young entrepreneurs. So we started with that, and then we got some financing from the first round investment. Our first one was from with Caisse de Dépôt and a local private investors here that put the money into it. And then we started to that, and we've been getting rounds of financing to bring the business where we are at this moment. And also, we last years we have started generating some revenues from, first of all, mostly from the cinema market, and which we'll pursue here also. It is building right now. It's becoming more and more of a what I call like a real business, not a startup anymore.
I see. And do you plan to do an IPO?
We're already a public company, by the way. We're on the Toronto Stock Exchange 2006. Which has been a good story with us. It has been very helpful and give us access to capital, and also has developed. We had like great additional investor that got on board with us, and they have been very, very supportive of what we're doing.
So, for the audience's sake, for those who have an idea, who want to be innovators and to launch a company as entrepreneurs, if I can summarize, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, then you have two individuals who are really passionate about a particular segment of technology, in this case 3D,
yep.
And they start a company, and what they do is they seek entrepreneurial sponsorship programs and benefit programs, whether it's government or municipal, whatever, to provide some seed capitals, maybe some tax advantages and other kinds of support. And then after that, you then actually went out to private investors, angel investors, and maybe to the VC marketplace to get some additional seed funding, and also to get some financing so you can grow that company. And then at a particular point in time, you feel that you're big enough, you have enough growth that you can actually do an initial public offering, and you did that on the Toronto Stock Exchange in 2006. And at that time, you got institutional investors and others putting funding into your company, and that's allowed you to grow even stronger.
That's correct, and we just closed a financing of $10 million last November, and this is our biggest raise of funds, and it gives us a very good position for the year, for the months coming up, the years. I mean, it puts Sensu into a very good position. Where the market will be growing, and that's what you summarize. It's very much exactly what we went through, and it's fun, challenging, sometimes frustrating, but at the end, you have to push, and you make it happen.
So I guess for those who want to be entrepreneurs,
yep.
How did you get financing? I mean, how many times were you turned down? Why did you have to put in your business case or in your business plan to to attract that attention, to so that people would commit dollars to your company?
It's kind of difficult to. I mean, there's no like very specific recipe. All I know is you mentioned one thing about being passionate about what you do, and also the other thing is to be structured and how you do it. And because it's one thing to say I believe in it, I want to make it happen. Here's what it is, and then you have to deliver. And then you have to make it happen. That's the second part. You need to be passionate. You need to be, but also you need to be organized and well, rigorous in how to deliver your what you have said that you would be. And at one point, you cannot give up. You have to. There's no way that it's not happening, or I'm not sure that's going to happen. He says it has to happen, and how do we make it happen? And I would say there's no specific like what kind of business plan we did. It was a standard one. But it's always the message was. We always been clear, communicate with the investors or the industries like what we're doing, how we want to approach it, and have a very good strategy. It's always key to everything.
I guess the other thing then is from your own personal background, what did you find were the most useful experiences or education or training and other roles that you had in your past? What in your past has allowed you for your success today?
Well, one of the things is I said it often is, the fact that we both work in two large corporations. I mean, we work for the Desjardins Credit Union, which is one of the largest credit unions in the world. So when we do business with either the Sony, Panasonic, LG, and or the studio in Hollywood, we deal with big corporations. So we understand how the politics works in these corporations, and we understand how to deal with the individual that are in front of us, that we know where he is, and so we can work with him and have him become an ambassador of our technology inside his company. And this is something that we have been doing and has been successful in understanding the people that we speak with, what's his issue, and how can we help him make our stuff happen with him.
So again, from your own personal background and the roles that you played, what are the top lessons and tips that you can share from these projects that you have worked on?
One thing is to have a good strategy. How do you address, let's see, a project? How do you address, and always, sometimes when you get to the heat of building a company, you forget to sit down and plan and do a good strategy. That's important to make a good, you understand where the industry is going, because we had to adapt several times. So you have to have a strategy that's adaptive, and that's something to be done. Second thing, you need to communicate strategy to internally to everyone that works with the whole team. We got the whole team of 20 people here now, and we have to communicate this as best as possible. Also, externally to our partners, investors, customers, where we're heading, how we're heading, because there's all communication is key. And the last part is to have a good structure, how to deliver. And delivering is important. Sometimes you would talk a lot, but you have to deliver and deliver according to what you have done. And that's doing a business, it's, 20%, there's an expression like 80% sweat and 20% thinking or something that's like where you have to, you have to roll up, you just been make it happen.
So what do you see then as the top challenges facing us today more generally, and how do you propose they be solved? Or in other words, if you were conducting this interview, what questions would you ask and what would be your answers?
Wow, I don't know very much so, but... It's mostly, I mean, what's interesting is because we kind of covered pretty much everything in the 3D, like the basic stuff. I think we'd be going into more detail on how the industry will, for example, one of the things is what are competitive? Do we have any competition in 3D? The answer is yes. Interestingly is when we started 10 years ago, we were pretty much the only one preaching about 3D. Then we're starting to see a lot of people coming into the industry trying to compete. And what's interesting is now we're crystallizing. You get less competition, and it's more focused on a few companies that will be competing in the next month, next years, and which is healthy for me to have competition. Means that if we had no competition, there's no industry safe because the industry doesn't exist without competition.
I see. So competition is a good thing.
It is, and I like it, and we like it. It keeps you alive, and you say, okay, this is what they're doing. You have to. It pushes you.
And I guess that what it does, too, is it educates the marketplace for you as well.
Of course, and that's what we're going to be living. One thing that's another point, 2010, this is where the nature of your question, that's what we're happy to tell the world, is this year will be a confusing year for 3D. People will say, okay, this is where 3D is heading, and then they will see the few weeks after something different and change it. Well, what's going on? Who's doing what? I don't understand. And this is normal. Totally totally normal. It was the same thing when HD came in many years ago. It is, and this year will be what we call the year of for 3D. But it will be a year of building and putting down the foundation of 3D.
But the whole point, though, is that we're going to be able to have 3D in our homes or in our offices this year.
Yep. And see, what TV do I buy? What technology should I use? What content will be available? And all these answers will be answered slowly at a certain pace, and that's why education, a lot of communication about what's 3D, like not only for sensors, but from the whole industry. This is why we have, we're one of the founders of what it's called the 3D at Home Consortium, which has the mandate to educate the industry and eventually the consumer to what's going on in 3D, what should I know, what should I not know. And this is something that has been building, and you'll hear more about it in the months coming up.
You know, what would be interesting, Richard, is that, you know, we're entering this phase of confusion because
yep.
there's so much buzz and excitement over 3D.
Yep.
Then there's going to be some kind of consolidation occurring. It'd be interesting to do an interview later on this year or early next year just to see what the results of all of that are.
Absolutely. That would be quite interesting, and probably you'll know more than me or as much as me by next year or close to it to where 3D is heading. And that'll be quite interesting to see. Yeah, it will be a pleasure.
Well, Richard, we've come to the end of this interview, and I really appreciate you coming in and sharing your deep insights. In fact, you're a pioneer in the industry, and it's rare that you can get to interview a pioneer in the industry, and your company, Sensio, is making tremendous leaps and bounds. So, again, you know, your schedule's demanding, and, you know, we're indeed fortunate to have you come in to do this interview. So thank you.
Well, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure, and you know, we're doing this to help people understand what's going on. At the end of the day, everyone will enjoy. We want everyone to enjoy the 3D experience.
I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and this concludes our exclusive interview with Richard LaVerge, Executive Vice President and Chief Commercial Officer at Sensio. Richard shared his insights into 3D technology.